The song which we are going to sing comes in the category of Dainya Bodhika. There are different types of prayer, and the Dainya Bodhika type of prayer is a prayer where a devotee offers this very humble submission to the lotus feet of the Lord. It expresses extreme humbleness and is extremely relevant to us. O Lord Hari, my life has been totally wasted. Although achieving this rare human birth, I have failed to serve Sri Radha and Krishna. And despite knowing and hearing about their service, I drink poison instead. From the spiritual region of Goloka comes the chant of the name of Hari. How unfortunate that I have no taste for such nectar and bliss. The whole material world is a roaring fire, and it is always scorching my heart, burning my heart. We heard this a little while ago, the fire of anxiety. Yet, I have no desire to find relief. He who has formerly, who was formerly Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, has now become Chaitanya, the son of Sachimata. He who formerly was Krishna's elder brother Balaram is now Nityananda. This time, they both come chanting the holy names of Hari, Rama, Krishna, and deliver all kinds of sinful living beings from this holocaust of material life. Even two drunkards, Jagai and Madai, are saved by hearing their song. O Lord Krishna, O son of Nanda Maharaj, and Radha Rani, daughter of King Vrishabhanu, please be merciful unto me. I, Narottam Das, now plead to you, Lord, please don't kick me away, for without you I have nothing.
Hori Hori Bipale Janama Gunwai.
Krishna na bhajiya.
ধার বিশানে দিবানিষি পিয়ারে
Vishnupada Paramahansa. What we are going to read is a text which Devahuti has spoken, addressing her son Kapila Dev, who's no one else than the Supreme Lord, to take all illusion away from her. Shishirada Gopinath ki jai. Translation: Now be pleased, my Lord, to dispel my great delusion. Due to my feeling of false ego, I have been engaged by your Maya and have identified myself with the body and consequent bodily relations. Purport. The false ego of identifying one's body as oneself and of claiming things possessed in relationship with this body is called Maya. So identifying one's body as oneself and claiming things possessed in relationship with this body, this is called Maya. In Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, the Lord says, I am sitting in everyone's heart, and from me come everyone's remembrance and forgetfulness. Devahuti has stated that false identification of the body with the self and attachment for possessions in relation to the body are also under the direction of the Lord. And now comes the central question, which is important to listen. Does this mean that the Lord discriminates by engaging one in his devotional service and another in sense gratification? If that were true, it would be an incongruity on the part of the Supreme Lord. But that is not the actual fact. As soon as a living entity forgets his real constitutional position of eternal servitorship of the Lord and wants instead to enjoy himself by sense gratification, he is captured by Maya. This capture by Maya is the consciousness of false identification with the body and attachment for the possessions of the body. These are the activities of Maya. And since Maya is also an agent of the Lord, it is indirectly the action of the Lord. The Lord is merciful. If one wants to forget him and enjoy this material world, he gives him full facility. Not directly, but through the agency of his material potency. Therefore, since the material potency is the Lord's energy, indirectly it is the Lord who gives the facility to forget him. Devahuti therefore said, my engagement in sense gratification was also due to you. Now kindly get me free from this entanglement. By the grace of the Lord, one is allowed to enjoy this material world. But when one is disgusted with material enjoyment and is frustrated, and when one sincerely surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, then the Lord is so kind that he frees one from entanglement. Krishna says, therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, first of all surrender, and then I will take charge of you, free you from all reactions of sinful activities. Sinful activities are those activities performed in forgetfulness of our relationship with the Lord. In this material world, activities for material enjoyment, which are considered to be pious, are also sinful. For example, one sometimes gives something in charity to a needy person with a view to getting back the money four times increased. Giving with the purpose of gaining something is called charity in the mode of passion. Everything done here is done in the modes of material nature, and therefore all activities but service to the Lord because of sinful activities, we become attracted by the illusion of material attachment, and we think, I am this body. Yes. I'm sorry, I pronounced it wrongly. Because of sinful activities, we become attracted by the illusion of material attachment, and we think, I am this body. I think of the body as myself, and of bodily possessions as mine. Devahuti requested Lord Kapila to free her from that entanglement of false identification and false possession. Atami deva samoham apakrashtum tvam ahasi yo vagraho hammame titi etasmin yojitas tvaya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskatyade Shatarine.
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasaito Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama
pleased, my Lord, to dispel my great delusion due to my feeling of false ego. I have been engaged by your Maya and have identified myself with the body in consequent bodily relations. From the purport, Devahuti has stated that false identification of the body with the self and attachment for possessions in relation to the body are also under the direction of the Lord. Fine. This means I am not responsible for my Maya. Krishna is responsible. Finally, I have heard it in the Bhagavatam class. It's not my fault that I'm in Maya. I'm totally innocent. What can I do? The material energy just overwhelmed me. But she's not independent. She worked under the control of the Lord. This is the greatest illusion of the living entity. It was my first and my only direct question to my spiritual master. It was a question which would decide if I would surrender to Krishna consciousness or not. Let me explain. When I met Srila Prabhupada in 1971, I felt a spontaneous faith and admiration in him. But I had a lot of attraction to the material energy, being bound up by the false ego, which made me identify with the body and possessions like money and other things. And I could not move according to my attraction to Srila Prabhupada, but felt I was forced to move according to my attachment to Maya. So in this dilemma, I addressed Srila Prabhupada with a deep doubt which I had. I asked Prabhupada, if everything moves under the control of Krishna, then Maya certainly also moves under the control of Krishna. That means we are not at fault. It's Krishna who put us in Maya. What type of Krishna is this? What God can, you know, allow the Nazis Maya, who wanted to annihilate all the Jews? This was my question. Krishna is responsible for Maya. It's his dog. And then Prabhupada looked at me. And I will never forget this glance. Prabhupada looked very deep at me. And he looked deeper into me. And he looked right through me. Finally, he looked into the bottom of my heart. And then with great force, the force of 20 billion atom bombs, he answered this deepest illusion. He said, not Krishna is at fault for Maya. You are. And all of a sudden, the responsibility which I had tried to lay on Krishna for my Maya went like an atom bomb into my heart. And although I did not understand it, because I was so moved, I cried and tears rolled down, and not of ecstasy, but just of, I knew I would have to surrender after this. Then I tried to become a devotee, which I'm still in the process of doing. And the point here is to accept responsibility. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes a direct statement where he says that he is not responsible for our Maya. Narate kascha chit papam nachaiva sukitim vibhu agyane navritam jnanam tenamu yanti jantavaya. Nor doth the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers the real knowledge. This comes in the 5th chapter, verse number 15. It comes in a discussion where Krishna discusses who is actually the doer and who is actually responsible for his activities. And Krishna says that the living entity is not actually the doer of activities. These activities are really done by the material energy. Krishna has earlier said in the 3rd chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that only due to false ego one thinks himself the doer of activities one has actually not done. For instance, if Gokulananda, who is a very, very good cook, especially apple crumble, I feel is your strength. You know, if Gokulananda would now think, I was responsible for the wonderful Nityananda's appearance day cake. then we would say, Gokulananda, sorry. Gokulananda, sorry, you are now a little bit in false ego. Others were doing it. You may be a cook, but you did not cook this cake. If you think, no, it was by my influence, because I was here. My cooking shakti was present. He would say, Gokulananda, you have a problem. It needs to be solved. I think we all agree. And that if someone claims a responsibility for an activity which was done by another agent, other source, then this is wrongly done. Now, Krishna goes far further. This is obvious, I feel. But what is about Nandarani and Malini and Tungavitya and Vrindadevi and who else? Many. Gauravani, Gandharvika. Were they the cooks? Krishna would say no. This is very interesting. Now, Nandarani and Gauravani would say, on Tungavidya, we cooked the cake. You would be wrong according to Krishna's perspective, because someone else did it. How is this? This is not very difficult. Please explain. We had the idea. We bought the sugar and the cream, and we mixed it all together, and we made the lotus flowers. Huh? What if we would say one day, no, we are not cooking. You have explained this in your next Nityananda's appearance day. We will not buy the cake. Okay? Let us see if it manifests automatically on the table. Huh? Let us see. Be practical. Listen to this very difficult point. The point Krishna makes, it will come out very clear if you understand the whole, everything which he says in relation to this in the Bhagavad Gita, is that the living entity is not the only doer. The majority is done by Krishna. Listen how it works. The living entity situated in the heart desires to do something. For instance, make a cake. Krishna, as the super soul, becomes aware of this desire. The example has been given just like now, you become aware of a fragrance of a flower when you are close to the flower. In the same way, Krishna, who is very close to the living entity, becomes aware of the desire of the living entity. Aha! And then, Krishna, who is explained in the scriptures, in the Gita, as Mayadhyakshena, the controller of the material energy, starts to work the material energy according to your desire. He moves the mighty forces of the material energy. I want to give you a little example. In my sincere desire to make you understand this difficult point, I desire now very strongly that my right arm lifts. All of a sudden, without my knowledge, see, I'm not telling the muscle what to do now. I'm also not saying the string here, the two strings here, actually, what to do now. It moves. As a mystery for me. It turns the hand because I want to make the point very clear. Now I want to point at you. It works. It's a mystery. But I'm not doing it. I don't know. There are millions brain cells, billions, and they work now in some mystical biochemical way, and some bioelectronic processes.
Yes, definitely.
Definitely, but other things also. Karana, you know, doesn't want to ruin my presentation. There are so many things involved that it is on a gross level, on a more subtle level, on a yet more subtle level. If you want to spend a day hearing science, Karana can try to explain a little bit of the living field, isn't it? And it can take long if you want to go into it. I don't know how this happened. I don't know biology. I can't even remember two numbers at the same time. I need a minimum 2 years to learn the telephone number of our temple. Those who know me know it is catastrophic with my memory of numbers. I'm the exact opposite of Dinanath when it comes to this quality of being technically minded. I can't do this biotechnics which works now, but I can desire to let this natural phenomena take place early in the morning of the 22nd of February 1997. You understand? It is due to another agent who kindly cooperates with my desire that something can be done. And when this agent has made the arrangement that it cannot continue, then the voice breaks, although I want to speak, the other thing. So this is how we understand. Yes, we are a little bit the doer because we desire it. And Krishna in the 18th chapter describes the living entity to be Karta, that means the doer. But we are not the only doer. The majority of the processes involved are really done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Hridayananda Maharaj has given a very interesting example of, let us say you want to drink something, then you you go to this automat, and then you put a chip in there, cling, and then a complex machinery starts to happen, cling 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 cling. Then an arm comes, a robot arm, and puts the glass under, let us say, the mango juice, if you have programmed it like this. And then the thing goes like, and it stops before the mango, before the cup, and then it goes like, and then on the display comes the sign: buy more. We wish you a nice mango juice enjoyment. Buy more, and so on. So, majority of things are done by the agent, this technical arrangement which is there, and which moves under the control of the programmers. So Krishna has put the laws into this material energy. He has programmed it in a very precise way. And he, when he becomes aware of your desire, he will compare it with your karma account of previous desires and previous activities, and then make an arrangement accordingly. This is how it works. So But now, after having heard this philosophical explanation, let us go into more detail of one particular point. The living entity can desire. Desiring is a function of a very important characteristica, which is called in Sanskrit Svatantra. And I've spoken already in two lectures a little bit about it, but I want to go deeper today. Svatantra means something like independent will. You have an independent will at your disposal to move according to your independent desires. So sometimes this Svatantra is misused. We hear that we have left the we have come from the spiritual kingdom of God because of the misuse, or we can also say abuse, of that independence which we have. And as a result, we have come here. Now, though many times devotees think, oh, what a mistake. Oh, why do I have independent will to begin with? I wish I wouldn't be independent. In this case, I could not have made this terrible mistake. You follow this logic? Why? Sometimes they even say, why did Krishna give us this? Knowing that we could do wrong with it. You don't give a little child fire because he might, it can be used very nicely, or it can be misused, like it was done in our Swedish farm in Anviksgard, where a few children were playing aratik in the barn, and then the whole barn burned away, and Buffy is a dog which was bound to the barn. You know, why was a fire given to the children? You could say, so why did the Lord give us this independence? So that we could misuse it, and now we are in the burning flames of material existence. This question is asked sometimes. But listen very carefully. The giving of independence is also called karuna dattva. It's a gift of mercy. Because if you would not have independence, you could not love Krishna. A living entity without independence or svatantra is no longer a living entity. Why do we need Rati to play the harmonium and not just let the harmonium play? Then we would have saved, then Rati would have saved so much Lakshmi. He would just tend his harmonium. You know, he can do everything. And we would have, it's a voice. The voice. Rati is more the voice than the harmonium. But even if it would be just instrumental music in theory, the harmonium would not have played without an operator. Who can desire? I make this music and then I make this musical embellishment and I go a little up now like it's done in Bengali style, and I go a little bit down like it is done in Raj style, jup jup jup, and I make the tapestry of the music. I want to, it should sound a little bit like this. Because, see, I think the point is clear without making such an example. Willpower, and which is resting on independence, on svatantra, is only possible for a living entity. A dead or a non-living entity cannot have independence. If we subtract this independence from you, you become dead. Also in Krishna consciousness, by the way, you need to do make an independent decision to surrender to Krishna. Otherwise it's not surrender. Otherwise it's not devotion. I spoke yesterday to a devotee and gave the devotee an example of one boy. This boy is the son of a disciple of mine, and he was the best Gurukul child. He played Midanga like a rolling thunder. He knows shlokas. For many years he worshipped his deities of Gonitai. He was punctual. You saw him at every Mangal Arati. Then when he turned 15, he wrote me a letter. Guru Maharaj, I'm sorry to write this letter. I thought about it for half a year, but I must inform you because you were always good to me, and you were always very honest. I want to be with girls now. I want to go to the cinema. I want to smoke, and I'm doing it. And yes, I broke all the principles with the exception of one. At first I thought, well, our little boy has developed a very sarcastic way of joking and read the letter twice and then thrice, and then it dawned on me, Svatantra. Svatantra, Svatantra. He was a good boy because he did not surrender on his own to Krishna. His mother wanted him to be good. His teachers wanted him to be good. Of being a good person according to the expectations of others. But he had not made this independent choice to surrender unto Krishna. And when he became older, he thought, where am I? And he found out his heart was not sufficiently purified. It was full of material desires. And even worse, he didn't have the strength to say no to these material desires. And therefore, with a sad expression in the face, both of us were sad. He also, you know, he certainly loves the devotees very much and is grateful, but his, you know, material energy is just taking him away because he has not again used his independence to surrender to Krishna. This must be a conscious step. Living entity has this, or the living entity has this independent, and he has to make this step to surrender to Krishna. Not because others will like you very much when you do it. This shouldn't be, this cannot be your mission. You want to, but you know, I'm a devotee and I want to serve Krishna, not anyone else. So, see, but if you take this independence, this Svatantra, and bring it to Krishna, then your spiritual life really starts. Now it is said, for the living entity who's misusing this independence, something very, very personal happens between you and Krishna. When the living entity misuses the independence, then Krishna becomes very sad. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says he begins to cry. These tears are hot tears. Cold tears are tears of ecstasy. They are cold. And hot tears are tears of sadness, of great grief. Krishna has hot tears at that moment. And he begins to cry. that, oh no, now this soul will be dragged away by Maya. This is how one said. Yes, said Prabhupada. As soon as the living entity forgets his real constitutional position of eternal servitorship to the Lord and wants instead to enjoy himself by sense gratification, he's captured by Maya. In one of our shastras, there's a very interesting little illustration which I remember last time when we, Bhakti Charu Maharaj and myself, we drove from one preaching engagement to Heidelberg, and we were discussing this. He said a story which I knew before, but he told it very nice, and I want to repeat it. How it is in the Shastra. Once Krishna was with Narada Muni, and Narada Muni asked him, please show me your Maya. And Krishna became sad for a moment and asked, really? Do you want to see my Maya? Why? No, said Narada Muni. It's a little bit, you know, I'm preaching about these things. I need to speak from realization. Just show me your Maya. Really, do you want to see my Maya? Krishna asks. Just like it is said, Krishna gives us three chances before we really go into the material world. We don't fall from the spiritual world and become a barkeeper in Heidelberg or Brussels. It doesn't go like that. Doesn't go so hard. Then Krishna did not say anything. He invited Narada Muni for a walk. Narada Muni thought Krishna really had forgotten about it. And all of a sudden Krishna asked Narada Muni, we are now in the desert. I'm very thirsty. I'm very thirsty. Can you bring me a glass of water, please? Yes, Narada Muni, yeah. Just go this way. There's soon you will come to a river and a village. Okay, my Lord. I just be back. Just back. He went, and soon he was at the village, and he knocked at a few doors, but no one opened. Finally, he knocked at one door, and a beautiful lady, she seemed unmarried because she didn't have a point is not a dot, I think you say. She had her point very much. she didn't have a dot. Muni was says, yeah, very nice. I am with a dear close friend, a very special personality. I just wanted to ask you, can you give me a little water? Oh, said the lady, sure, but you have come a far way. Please come and sit and wait and rest a little bit. No, I'm a little bit in a hurry, said Narada Muni. At this moment the door opened, and the father, who had an even stronger point, came and said, oh, very good. You are a prophecy fulfilled. It is stated in the village documents that one day a young man like you would come and marry my daughter. The horoscope says it. And the prophecy. Oh, said Narada Muni. wife, and he thought to himself, if I'm honest, I sometimes thought about this. You think it's an arrangement of the stars? Yes, 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 yes! Here, he showed. See, here it is written. You are working according to providence. Come. And soon the marriage was celebrated. The glass of water was forgotten, needless to say. And Narada Muni became the head of a happy family. And after some time, it is described, even the father died and he became the mayor of the village and lived a grihastha life. One day it so happened that rain, unusual rain, came over the country, and it became heavier and heavier and heavier until the river was full with waves and came over the granites at the borders of the river and just took all the houses away. It took the whole village. It came closer to Narada Muni's house and dragged the house of Narada Muni in the water. Narada Muni just could take his family and jump into a boat and row the boat across that water, which became like an ocean. And he looked, it was a terrible ocean by now, swelling and swelling. A wave came, took away his youngest son. A second wave took away his next son. A third wave came and took away his wife. A fourth wave came. It took away his boat. And then he was in the water, struggling for dear life. And he was drowning, and he screamed, and he screamed, and finally he captured something, but he lost his consciousness. And when he woke up, he saw he was grasping the feet of the Lord. He looked up. He saw first the yellow dhoti, like a flash of light, so bright, and looked into the smiling lotus eyes of Krishna. Oh, said Krishna, Narada Muni, you have forgotten something. Where is my glass of water? You have forgotten something. Do you understand? We all have forgotten something. Where is the glass of water? Where is our service for Krishna? Our total service. I remember once a devotee who had forgotten to bring the glass of water and had even run to Vrindavan, but pained with feelings of dissatisfaction, the devotee phoned from Vrindavan and said, am I doing something wrong with my independence? I'm now in Vrindavan, should be a good place to become Krishna conscious. And he says, do you really want to know a nice story which answers your point? And I explained the story to the devotee, and a little later this devotee was in the airplane and continued with the service. Because this is really how we can become Krishna conscious, by using our independent free will to serve Krishna. This is required. This we will have to learn. Krishna is everything except for one thing really, and that's your independent free desire done with your free will to surrender to his lotus feet. And he wants that. He has already everything. He doesn't want it because he is just so possessive. And he wants it for your benefit. Because only when you are in your natural constitutional position can you be really happy and really naturally situated. Just like, let us say, a finger can only function in relationship to the body. You can only function in relationship to the Lord. I remember once one devotee wrote me, "I hate that Krishna is always the enjoyer. What type of God is he?" He wrote me. I will never forget this. At first I was a little... He did not say hate. He said, "I dislike."